Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. Today is a Thursday. I came home early because it was a bad snow day, but now it looks like the sun's coming out, so I don't know if I'm gonna suffer on my Friday for my Thursday, but I thought I'd take advantage of the situation and record a Mike M's Weekly Reads. I also knew I was getting a package from my comic shop, and I haven't gotten one of those in a while. I think the last one I placed was in October. Might have been October or September. So I've been collecting books here and there, and I had quite the cart. Well, actually not the cart, but the want list. I put everything in my want list. And I gotta pour me some tea, so in case I get dry mouth, I can drink while I'm talking. But I was accumulating books, but I'm also a mood guy, so even though I was accumulating a lot of stuff in the queue, I didn't go for everything in the queue. I can't remember what triggered the purchase. Oh, I remember. It's kind of a silly thing. I was missing one issue of Spider-Woman, the Maddie series. Maddie is the niece of J. Jonah Jameson, and she was written by John Byrne in Amazing. She was created in, I think, by John Byrne. And she had her Spider-Woman series, and at the same time, she became Spider-Man at some point when Peter hung up his costume. Unfortunately, I've been reading that at the app in the middle of the night. Amazing Spider-Man in 1999, and Peter Parker Spider-Man 1999, and I was gonna throw in Spider-Woman 1999. But they didn't have it. And that's when I went to my database, my comic base, typed in Spider-Woman. I can't remember, it's the fourth volume or the third volume. And I saw I was missing one issue, and it was kind of driving me nuts. So that one issue sparked a purchase. And then in the 1990 series of Peter Parker and Amazing Spider-Man, I was only missing the annuals. I had all of the individual issues. But I'm having a really good time rereading that series. And happy to note that a lot of it is familiar. Like, this was the time frame where MJ had Peter quit. Peter moves in with MJ. She's a model, and they have Aunt May move in, and he's not Spider-Man. Maddie is Spider-Man, and in order to save Maddie's life, he has to bring the costume back in because all the Spider-Women are being hunted by this other Spider-Woman that was created by Doc Ock. To draw this, to absorb the powers of each Spider Woman, Julia Carpenter, Jessica Drew, and Maddie. I forget what Maddie's last name is. It's not Jameson, I don't think. But anyway, she was absorbing the powers, and she was working for Doc Ock. And Amazing Spider-Man was drawn by John Byrne. It was the time of digital coloring, so while they have an inker, his art does look different. There are a few issues where you see like classic John Byrne, especially when he's drawing Fantastic Four. And I don't know if he's not drawn a lot of Spider-Man, and that's just because he has a different style with Spider-Man. But you can definitely see his Fantastic Four love in there, because there's a weird, in the vein of John Byrne's Superman sleeping with Big Barda, and then Darkseid leaving the videotape of the video cassette with Scott Free and saying, "Look, This guy fucked your wife. there's an issue in Amazing Spider-Man where they're Flash Thompson and a few others are in these cryogenic tubes, but well, they're not frozen tubes. They're like tubes with water, kind of like when Luke Skywalker's healing in the bath, and he's floating in the bath, and then Boba Fett goes into the bath, the healing bath in the new show. But kind of like that, they're all in these, kind of tubes, and Mysterio has them there, kind of like dreaming their own fictitious lives. And in one of them, Flash Thompson, because he loves Spider-Man, is works as a superhero. He kind of looks like Adam Strange. He's got a rocket pack and he's got a blaster, and he works with Spider-Man to take down villains. And they save the Fantastic Four from Doctor Doom in one of the issues, and Sue goes and starts making out with, a Flash right in front of Doctor Doom. And I wonder who's calling. I'm gonna just turn that off, but because I don't know who would be calling from that number. Ooh, Barb's texting me too. I better check. Oh, okay. I forgot what I was telling. Oh, Sue gives a tongue kiss right in front of Reed to Flash, and Flash is like, "But your husband's right there." And she said, he says, "Oh, don't worry. I just want to make Sue happy." And then that happens in the next issue, because it's two issues where you're like, "What's going on? Who's behind all this?" And because Flash is captured, like, I think 3 issues before all this happens. So somebody captures Flash, but you don't know why or what. And it turns out to be Mysterio, and that's why he's, having these visions. But there are some funny scenes in there. So, yeah, I've been enjoying that. Made the purchase because of that. And I was focused a lot on Marvel this time, and then every occasionally I run across tweets on Twitter, and a cover captures me, and I'm like, "Do I have that?" And I realized I don't have much techno comics, so I bought some techno comics, mostly focused on George Perez's iBots. There's still a second volume I have to track down. They had it, but I decided just to get the first volume and complete the techno dead universe. And at one time, me and Bill Bomer were talking about on Geek Brunch that there was actually a techno comic store in a mall, with all of your techno comics at one time, because they were supposed to blow up. They unfortunately didn't, but it was a good idea. I don't think I bought many techno comics. I might have had two. But it's one of those dead universes that I'm interested in. So I did that. And I thought I would tackle a couple of questions if I can find any. I still had a few queued up. I have a few from Dallo Spicer. He's really good, and Nick are really good about leaving me questions, so I have material for this show, and I really appreciate it. And they're really good questions, and they don't usually repeat themselves, so it's a lot to think about. But I do look at these questions. This one came out on November 13th of 2021. You can show how delinquent I am. But he says, "What are your thoughts on DC rebooting their universe over and over again that impacts continuity for longtime readers? Are you for or against them doing it again? How important is continuity to me to you?" Continuity to me is very important, but the reboots aren't reboots to me in my mind. it's kind of like a multiverse thing that works in my head, and it doesn't bother me. It's kind of like going to see Spider-Man Far From Home. If you see that movie, you'll see what I mean. It's that every comic matters in its own continuity. And that's how my mind has always worked with continuity, whether it be Marvel, DC, Valiant, or anything. My mind, if it's a writer going in there with no intention of any continuity, my mind puts it in the continuity. I know that sounds weird, but that's the way it's always been. And the way that the Infinite Frontier and some of that stuff was written as it was launched. There was a Commandy series and stuff, and the message that came out of that mini series was everything matters and everything happened. Whether it was the campy Batman and Robin in the 70s or the grim and gritty Frank Miller Batman, it all happens, it all means something. So, that's how I feel about that question. That's a good question, but it doesn't bother me. It is in continuity. Every time they start with number ones, it's still to me the same thing. When Flashpoint happened, it was just a transition from one world to another world, which was New 52. It was all in continuity. Everything before that happened, and then Flashpoint happened, and that was its own multiverse world, and then we ended up in some other place. And now we're back with the merger. Same thing happens with Superman. You know, they do stuff, it all works. Like right now, even though DC isn't saying it, they're really doing their Dan DiDio's plan, which was to have the fifth generation 5G characters, a next generation of superheroes. Because we got Jonathan as Superman, we have the new Batman and I Am Batman. We have Wonder Girl, and Nubia, so we have a new Aquaman. It's all there. Those generations of superheroes. If you're reading Green Lantern, so it all happens and it's all migrating to it. But will we end up back with Cal being Superman? Yeah, we will. He has aged. And pictorially, like when they draw him now, he looks like Golden Age Superman with the white sideburns. But that was a really good question, Dallo. Thank you. It doesn't bother me. It's all there. So I'm just gonna remove that one so I don't repeat it. Remove tweet from bookmarks. Another one from Dallo is assess the post-Dinesh DMG era of Valiant, success or failure. Will they be publishing in 2 years' time? I think it's more successful than I thought they would be. They're still cranking out at least two books a month, and in Dinesh's, he was winding down to, roughly two books a month. Continuity isn't as tight. But it's all there, and while the artwork isn't as, it's like reading a JSA Mike Parabak issue of JSA. The art might look a little different, but it's still decent stories, and I don't think it's as successful as Valiant was when they had them, but it might be more successful in terms of streamlining and not having as much to pay all those people like Dinesh and all that stuff. Maybe they're paying a lot less, so they might be more profitable. So if you look in terms of that way and what they're selling, they might be doing okay. Will they be publishing in 2 years' time? I think so. I think so. And if the Kickstarter is any indication, there's still a lot of Valiant fans. I'm a Facebook fan, and there's still a lot of Valiant fans out there. A lot of them moved over to Bad Idea, and they drop Valiant, but I'm kind of in both. That bad idea though pisses me the fuck off. I mean, love Dinesh for what he is, but man, he at a heart, sometimes I think he's more of a collector than he is a wants to provide stuff for a reader, as much as he says he does. But it is called bad idea, so I can't complain. I am going to remove that one and do one more. This one is not fair for me to answer because I haven't read many Bad Idea comics. I've read ENIAC and I've read that Batman book. I can't remember what it was called. Passive Aggressive. So you say assess Bad Idea publishing record in terms of quality of stories, not the marketing, because he knows I probably hate the fucking marketing. They drive me nuts. What are the hits and misses from what you've read so far? ENIAC and Passive Aggressive, those were 5 out of 5s for me. So I absolutely loved them. And I don't even know if I finished ENIAC. If I didn't, I better go get on it. But I think they're a success. I think in terms of their company, they feel like they're a success. I think where people don't like them is the retailers. They really don't like the rules. They really don't like having to jump through hoops for their books and having to go by their demands. And they are getting burned by it. You just listen to the retailers. You listen to Challengers Comics. You listen to any of those podcasts. They flat out tell you they're happy that Bad Idea is dropping them as a store because they're making everybody reapply. I hope that's not true. What I was hoping is that Bad Idea would come back as Good Idea, and they would be solicited somewhere so you could just order it. You know, if you want to order it, I'm okay with them having like coupons in the book and say, hey, you save 5 of these, you could send away for your free comic. I'm good with that. Just don't make things like super challenging to get, like Legends of the Geomancer and stuff like that. That stuff pisses me off. So I answered that question. Thank you, Dallo, for those questions. Sorry they're late. But I do answer them. And it just depends on what I do with this show. So those are those questions. So I'm going to remove the. Oh, no, I can't remove it if it. One of the things about bookmarks that I hate is it refreshes every now and then. And when it refreshes, it takes your bookmarks to the very top. So I have to scroll back down. I have some more questions from Nick Wetmore that I will be getting to, but we'll save those for another time because I want to open up my comic shop box and also read previews. The new previews came out. Really excited to look at that. So let's go to mycomicshop.com. And if I click on my orders, so what I did order is Amazing Spider-Man 1998 number 9 and Amazing Spider-Man 1990, I said 1999, but it was 1998 annual 9 very fine 8.0. I ordered the annual from 1999. I ordered Angel Fire. I think those were Crusades. I wanted to complete my Ashes, and there was an Ash. These were event comics with Jimmy Palmiotti and Joe Quesada. Ash 22 Brides. I ordered 1 and 2. There was a comic book called Ash Files. Ordered that. Ash Fire and Crossfire. This actually features Mark Evanier's Crossfire character from Eclipse. There was Atomic Angels 3 and 4. I think I bought 1 and 2 at a one of those indoor flea market things. And those are Crusades. There was an Avatar book I picked up, which is called Avatars. I queued that one up. I ordered DC's Beowulf. I realized that in the Sword of Sorcery books, I didn't have any Beowulfs. So I ordered 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I ordered Berserker number 2. This is a Rob Liefeld cover, even though I have Berserker number 2. I ordered Black Flag number 1. Man, she really wants to go outside and she's driving me nuts. But there's snow on the ground and she's not gonna even move an inch. Watch, I'll let Harley go on outside. There she goes, and then she'll be right in about 2 seconds. She realized how cold it is out there. Yep, she's at the edge there. She's thinking about it, but maybe she's going to pee. Yay. So, after Black Flag, there was a issue of Bloodfire I was missing, number 12. I want to complete my Lightning comic, so that's been like an ongoing grab. There's still I'm about 50% there. This completes my Bloodfire, but there's some Helenas and Creeds and a couple. I might have purchased a couple of Creeds in this one, because I haven't read much Creed, but we'll see how that turns out. So, there was a comic book Carnage from our Eternity. I don't know why I queued that up. Let me pull it up. Let's see if it was creator based or it just looked cool. Sometimes I see like an old preview in a comic book, and this one was Richard Kane Ferguson doing both of them. And I don't know why I queued this one up. It must have been because it looked cool. And I was probably reading an Eclipse comic and I saw it in the ads. And that's why I added it to my queue at the time. Think she went poop, which is a good thing. Let's see what else we got. Christian number 1. This is a Rob from Rob Liefeld's Awesome Comics. Cuda, I was missing number 2 from Avatar. That one is awesome. That's like an Avatar version of Conan. And I read number 1 and liked it a lot, but I didn't want to continue. I had 3 and 4. I was missing a Cyberpunk 2077 Trauma Team. Picked up number 1 because I was missing that very first issue. There's a comic book called Cyberpunks. I don't know why I ordered that. Let's go check. Cyberpunks. Oh, Cyberpunk is another Rob Liefeld creation from Image Comics. That's why. So I picked that up. Dark Side from Maximum Press, another reason I do the Rob Liefeld fascination. I picked up the 1991 M-Tech series of Deathlok. These were issues that I no, this is the not the M-Tech one. I already had the M-Tech one. This is the 1991 ongoing. And I picked up 11 through 33, and there might be like two or three issues that weren't available. So I almost completed that Deathlok run, and that goes back to the back issues that back issue magazine I was reading when I went on that Deathlok fascination. And those that follow me on Twitter know what I read, and they'd be able to say, "Man, you're reading a lot of Deathlok." Well, these were the missing issues I had of that particular series. The 90s. I picked up some annuals. Deathlok, 1999. That was the M Tech. I was missing number one and four, so I completed that. I have read all of that digitally, so I've already read the series. I just wanted to have the physicals. For Mirage, there's a comic book called Dino Island. I had number one. I picked up number two. There was an issue of Dooms 4. That was a Rob Liefeld Image comic book. I picked up 1B. I already had one of the other covers. They had a couple of Elvira's House of Mystery. I've been picking these up anytime I get notified they're available. I'm missing a handful, but I picked up four and six. Two more comic books from High Impact. One of the books I'm reviewing in this one is Jazz. High Impact was sort of a bad girl publisher back in the maybe 90, no, 2000s, and 2004 to be specific, roughly. And I read Jazz, and I've been trying to pick up other issues of High Impact and completing that dead universe. I picked up Fury from, this is a one shot from 1994. This is like a Nick Fury. I picked up Nick Fury of S.H.I.E.L.D. 1995, 1, 2, and 3, and 4. I picked up Gru vs. Conan 1, 2, and 3. I think there's a fourth issue that they didn't have available, but I read Gru vs. Tarzan, or Gru meets Tarzan. I loved it. I wanted to get this. There was a Guarding the Globe that I was missing. That's a Robert Kirkman team book. Harry Carey. I picked up several of those. Who is Harry Carey? I don't remember. Harry Carey. I think it's a Bad Girl comic. Yeah, she looks like a Japanese superhero from Blackout Comics. So, yeah, I like buying comics that I never heard of, and this is one of them. Hellcat 1 and 2. That was the 2000 Marvel Hellcat. iBots, we talked about that from Techno. I ordered 1 through 7. Jazz, who I just talked about from High Impact, I had read issue 1. I picked that up at the local comic shop, one of their boxes, and I wanted 2 and 3 to finish off that series. I picked up another John Sable to get closer to completing my John Sable run. That was issue 55. My Rob Liefeld complete my awesome comics. I was missing Judgment Day number 3. From Techno Comics, Lady Justice, that was Garth Ennis. I picked up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. Lady Vampire, let's see what that is. See, that's funny. I ordered these, I don't even remember what they are. Lady Vampire. I must have spelled it. Maybe it's Vampire. That's from Blackout Comics. So I don't remember why I went down this Blackout Comics tangent, but I read something and I found out that they only published a handful of comics and added a few of them to the queue. Last Generation, that I was only missing one issue. I think this completes that run. Marvel Tales, these were Todd McFarlane covers. I bought 230 and 231. Moon Knight Saga. This was just one Moon Knight that I was missing. This might have been a free comic at one time. It was number 0. Picked up some Mysteries in Space. Number 111, 112, 114, 116, 117. New Mutants Annual. It was one I was missing. Number 6. As far as this New Mutants series, I have everything except for 98, which is the first appearance of Deadpool, but I do have the facsimile edition. I think with this annual, it completes that run, and then there's New Mutants Summer Special, number one, so it's one of those offshoots from New Mutants. At that flea market in Arizona, I picked up Over the Edge. That was one of those 99-cent things that Marvel tried, focusing on like the Marvel Knights characters. And I picked up 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, 8, and 10. So I only have one of those issues, but I loved it. I picked up Overkill, Witchblade, Aliens, Darkness, Predator. This was number one I was missing. I picked up The Pack, that's from Shadowline. I was missing issue one. I still think I need another. There's two volumes of Pact, and I think I still need one for one of the volumes. Peter Parker, Spider-Man, we just talked about 1999. I picked up 1999 annual and 2000 annual because I was missing them. I recently bought a comic book called Psy Power Lords from DC Comics. It was a licensed property, and I picked up two and three. It's a toy line. Almost done completing my Punisher series, so I picked up many of those, like 51. The issues I was missing between 51 and 98. I didn't need them all consecutively, but that's probably, I ordered about, I don't know, 11, 12, maybe 15 issues. I was missing Sam and his talking gun from Scout, so I picked that up. There's that Spider-Woman I was talking about, Supreme the Return. There's still a few Supremes I'm missing, and most of them are Alan Moore's, but there are a few Supremes I'm missing, so every time they show up and I'm going through my list of wants and they have them available, I just grab it. I'm a Three Musketeers mark. I love the Three Musketeers, and in 2008 they did a Marvel Illustrated with six issues of the Three Musketeers adaptation. I picked up Totem number four. I already have it. I picked up the retailer incentive because it had Mario Gully art on the cover. I picked up a bunch of What Ifs from the second series. The first series, I have every single one. I completed the run of What If Volume 1. I have very little of What If Volume 2. I did pick up a few at the LCS today, but my focus was targeted at what Rob Liefeld talked about in his Robservations. He talked about Mark Silvestri, not Mark Silvestri, Jim Valentino doing a lot of the What If series, in 89, 90, 91. And he even has his hand in one of them. And I picked up the Liefeld Valentino issue. And the rest of them were all Valentino issues. So I picked up What If all of them that Valentino had done. I think they had like two more that he had done that weren't in stock. But these were the ones they had in stock. I picked up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of X-51. That's essentially Machine Man in 1999 as he was there with Machine Man, Warlock, and Deathlok. They had a three-issue M-Tech line, and those were the titles. So that's what I got. I hope you enjoyed me breaking that down for you. And then let's jump into the weekly reads. So, for November 29th of 2021 to December 5th of 2021, had a total of 22 comics. We had one from Warrant Magazine, six Marvel comics, two Image, one It's Alive, one High Impact we just talked about, one Harvey comic, seven DC, two Boom, and one Ablaze. We'll start at the bottom, the 3 out of 5. Midnighter Annual 2021, the conclusion to the backup where the future Midnighter sacrifices himself to try and destroy the computer in his head and the corporation who created it. The current version of Midnighter returned to the present, and it stars Mr. Miracle. This tied into the backup that was in Action Comics. Which completes in Superman and the Authority, and it's also part of the Action Comics storyline with Mongol and Warworld. If you're following that, you can keep reading up on Midnighter. But this one tied into that. It was the bridge between the ba action backup and Superman and Authority, and now it's going back to action. But now he's part of the main story. That was a 3 out of 5. We get into the 4 out of 5s at the bottom. We had New Burn number 1, and I will say I like number 2 more than number 1. This one says Chip Zdarsky and Sean Phillips, but it has a different writer and a different penciler. So I don't know if they just created the idea or what's happening with that. But this is about a retired detective who now works for the mob, is investigating a mob hit that could cause a war between two crime families. And he meets a woman in this first issue that sort of becomes his partner in the second issue. We have Venom number 1. This is following the Donny Cates Venom, and it's Ram V. Eddie is like a god now, and he can exist in multiple symbiotes between time and space. Something is after his son, and looks like Venom will now be Dylan. I'm caught up on Venom, believe it or not. There are 4 issues out so far. We have Jazz number 1, which we talked about, which is a high impact. A mafia boss is hunted down by two blondes. Does not say who they are. Jazz is training with an asshole karate instructor and gets hired to look for those two girls that invaded the mob house and killed a lot of that mob. So she's kind of like a bounty hunter. We have Wendy the Good Little Witch, Volume 2, Number 11. Wendy tries to babysit a troublemaking storm cloud. Casper tries to adopt, an abandoned chimney into his home. And Wendy, and Nightmare, that's the Casper ghost horse story, where it's pet day picnic, and Nightmare protects the picnic from all kinds of disasters behind the scenes. Nobody knows he's keeping the picnic going, but he's the hero of the story, quiet hero at that. We have Shudder number 1. This is the anthology black and white magazine from Warrant. The two best stories were the pirate one and the one about the hunter asshole with the rich brother. So the pirate one was really interesting, and then the hunter one was creepy because it was about a hunter who kills animals in Africa, and he's a real asshole. And then his brother dies, and he tries to get the fortune, but it doesn't pan out the way in those typical O. Henry stories or whatever they call them. Things don't turn out well for our hunter friend. There was a Frankenstein Nazi soldier story. A guy who thinks someone is dead in his house, and it really is him. He really is dead. It's him that's dead, not someone in his house that's dead. We have Swamp Thing, current volume number 7. New Swamp Thing emerges, but we don't know with. This might be 1. I don't think it's number 7. Emerges, but we don't know what his relationship is with the Green or Alec Holland. He gets caught up with the Floronic Man and Poison Ivy. It's very interesting so far, and Mike Perkins' art is amazing. I think what this one was I read several issues and only took credit for 1. We have Berserker number 5. This is the Boom Studios. The psychiatrist delves into Keanu's past and his various lovers. She attached him to a machine and extracted something from him, and supplied whatever she extracted to her boss. So I don't know what they're gonna do with that. They're gonna make like a super soldier serum. We have Basilisk number four. Our heroine does get some revenge as she takes on followers from the gods and takes on one of theirs out with the help of one of them. She survives round one. So that this is the one story where those gods kind of come down in this town and slaughter everybody, and they had killed our heroine's husband, and now she's seeking revenge on those gods, and she does survive round one and takes out one of those god characters. She actually has one of those god characters on her side, though, as well. We have Static Season 1, 3, and 4 from DC Comics. Static is being hunted by the government, searching for Big Bang Kids. His family and friends protect him, but his one rival, signs with fire powers, comes after Static with the government. We got Laura number one. This one's from Ablaze. Gilliam March takes the story of a girl who falls in love with her best friend. He only wants to remain friends, though. She later goes on a date with another friend. Well, actually, with she goes with another friend, and to go on with her life, and is having a hard time getting away from her feelings about her love, essentially. But she does meet another guy at a bar, kind of like a dance thing going on. We have Captain America, the first series, 294 and 298. Jack and Cap go out on the offensive and attack a castle where Red Skull and the Baron are in. They defeat the Sisters of Sin, but Cap beats up his best friend as they set him in a Baron Zemo costume. And he's the one that was really abused by Baron Zemo. We have the Mother Superior. And Monroe, who's a nomad, under the spell, feeding chemicals to Cap, causing him to age. The origin of the Red Skull was awesome, because they had it again. We have Hellcop, number one, volume two. The Hellcops protect the earthly dimension from a demon like de demonite from demons. I don't know what I was saying there. But he's protecting earthly dimensions from demons, and he has to sometimes go to hell to deal with it. The story opens up. This is 5 out of 5, by the way. Captain America, Hellcop, and Tangled River. So Hellcop is Image. Marvel is obviously Captain America. Hellcop, the story opens up with them finding one of the demons, but one gets away. Later, the main character's partner is killed, and he's kind of set up for that. And that fleshes out in Hellcop number two. Really great premise and pacing. Really enjoyed the hell out of it. Tangled River number one, a sci-fi story about kids that had to land on a planet that has no power. And what I mean about that is like no electrical power. It's all mechanical. Technology does not exist, and the main character is taking care of her sick mother, but she manages to hang out with her friends and enjoys art, where paper is almost non-existent. Every now and then, a ship comes to trade, and she gets a book and some healing tea for her mom, which appears to be helping her mom, strangely helping her mom. A strange object lands on the planet, and our main character sneaks into a government meeting because her mom was part of the board, and she's in there just listening. They're sending people to investigate the object because she mentions this to the board. Really fantastic story. 5 out of 5 from It's Alive Comics. We'll then go to the next week, which was December 5th, 2021 to December 12th of 2021. 22 comics, 9 Marvel, 3 Image, 1 Dynamite, 3 DC, 3 Dark Horse, 2 Antarctic, and 1 Ad House. We'll start with the 3 out of 5s. We have Valkyrie Savior 2 and 3. This one kind of was much better as the number one issue, but as it went on, it just seemed to really go nowhere. It's just a bunch of sexy Valkyries fighting. There's no more substance to the story that was all developed in issue one. It's really nice art, but After enjoying the first issue, this really felt like it went nowhere. I was disappointed in X-Force Killshot by Rob Liefeld. This was kind of the anniversary of X-Force. Maybe my expectations were too high. I was expecting more action, but there were a lot of talking heads. Great seeing Rob draw different incarnations of the characters, though. That was Marvel. Getting to the 4 out of 5s, we have Nocturna 5 and 6. This is the finale of Nocturna from Image, Scott Snyder. Piper and M find sanctuary, and M is healed. That was her brother. Later, they find out that the older brother killed his science brother and is going to betray them to the killer. And that's the older brother of the man that got him to the sanctuary. They escape just barely, but Billy is still after them. And I think there's a special, Nocturna special, that I have on my to-read stack about that character, the killer. Gives some more backstory about Val and M and the Great PM, which is essentially the event of how everything went dark. We have that's what I had. It was volume 7. I think that Swamp Thing was 1, 2, and 3. That's what it was. It was volume 7, number the one we just went over, 1 through 3. And then I can add 2 more to DC, which makes that 9 total DC for last week, and makes it a total of, add 2 more, 24 comics for last week instead of 22. I knew something was up, and then it fleshed itself out because this is number 4. Levi, a Swamp Thing, explores the green with Alec Holland. Jennifer Reese, along with Jason Woodrow, explore the green looking for Levi. She finds Levi, but he is a Swamp Thing and she passes out. There is a Mr. Pilgrim who contacts Amanda Waller and the Suicide Squad about Swamp Thing. We have a book called Comrade Kill. This is from Ad House Comics. It's a little bit bigger than the digests you see at Archie Comics that are at the grocery store. It's a Russian super soldier comes out of freeze and fights some crazy nuclear monsters in the U.S. desert in Nevada. It's incredibly violent and incredibly funny. This is one that I tweeted to Vince from 11 O'Clock Comics, and I said, "You really should check this out." And he said he will. I don't know if he did or not, but it seems like it's right up his alley. So that was 4 out of 5. Then we have Justice League 165. This is Volume 1. Justice League tries to rescue Zatanna's mom from the Homo Magi. It turns out the mom who really rescues them, but not without a cost. A really good read. This one was in a box from my comic shop purchases next to my couch, my reading couch, that I hadn't opened in a long time. And I decided, hey, I'm going to pick some for back issue, for Retrocast, and I picked that. We have Captain America number 299 through 307. I have a long write-up with about this, but bear with me. I had a lot of fun with this Captain America run. What led me to that Captain America run was a few weeks prior, was back issue magazine. I was reading Deathlok, which led me to that Deathlok M-Tech series. I read that, completed that. I read all the Tales to Astonish Deathlok. I read the Marvel Team Up and the Marvel 2-in-1 Deathlok. And then I read the Captain America, which the story is completed in Captain America. And it led me to realize I wanted to keep reading Captain America. So this is the finale, and Cap is in the Death's Door when Black Crow saves him. He's a Native American hero that's handicapped. But he gets into the spirit world and he sends a spirit to help Cap. The poison is gone, but now he's an old man. So Cap has got the poison out of his system that Nomad was accidentally feeding him, which the Night Mother was, giving to him. Cap's friends are alive and Dave awakens from his coma. He's that Vietnam friend of his. The Red Skull is dead. An excellent read as Cap is restored with the help of the Avengers. Also, Mother Superior, she's the daughter of the Red Skull, and the Sisters of Sin, also restored to teenagers. Machete and Zaran are hired by Batroc to steal Cap's shield. Cap fights a drunk Batroc. I don't know how they pronounce his name. Batroc. He actually was in the Marvel U in one of the Captain America movies. He's the French guy with the kicker, the Leaper. Batroc the Leaper. He finds that Stain Industries stole his shield. He does not know how they have the scientist who created his shield to make the suit of armor. Cap rescues the scientist that created his shield with the help of Shield and Nomad. Stain International no longer has the shield. Cap sees the vision, a vision of Captain Britain, which leads him to London. There he battles Britain and is defeated, and learns that Mordred the Mystic is now in the armor, trying to raise up Merlin. Mordred destroys London, trying to get Merlin out. The Caps work together and defeat him as they turn him over to Merlin. Bernie, who's his fiance at the time, makes Jack feel like he should get a job. Get a job, sha-na-na-na. No, gets a job as a sacker at a grocery store, and sort of falls for the cashier. But that cashier has a boyfriend. He doesn't know that, unfortunately. Madcap attacks outside, and Nomad goes to fight and gets defeated. Jack goes back to work and gets fired because he left his post to go be Nomad and try to fight Madcap. He goes to see the cashier at the hospital, but finds out she has a boyfriend. That was very entertaining. Carmen number five. Carmen changes her case of Kata from code red to code blue. Instead of getting a lower life, she gets a better one and actually gets saved by her roommate. She now has abilities to see visions and returns the ring to the woman that was going to get proposed to, but the man got hit by a car. I think that happened in issue three. She now gets to be in a relationship with her best friend, who she has always loved. Black Hawk 264. This is from DC Comics. This is from Volume 1. Black Hawk goes after Dermurder, who killed Domino. Domino, not the Marvel Domino, but the Domino that he was in love with, and tried. She was a Nazi, and she was hired by Hitler to go and kill Black Hawk, but they started to have a thing for each other. This leads him to a mystical, peaceful land, much like Nada Parbat. No weapons are allowed here, and Black Hawk and Demorder are tested. The ancient leader lets Black Hawk leave with Demorder. Chop Chop goes after a weapons dealer who is a beautiful woman supplying weapons to the Japanese. They develop a large robot that he takes down with a bola grenade device. So, like those bolas that they have in Australia, where those it's like balls and tied to strings. He makes one out of grenades and tosses it and blows up that robot that I was talking about. The Blackhawks are after a scientist who created the war wheel, and he sends bats with them with devices attached to them to help damage their planes, so they have to retreat. We have the last 5 out of 5, which was Gru meets Tarzan 2 through 4. Mark abandons Sergio at the animal park and goes back to the convention. Gru joins Tarzan to take down the slavers. Mark, convention goers go to the animal park to save Sergio because they love Spy versus Spy, which he doesn't even do. That's the ongoing joke. So the 5 out of 5s for those weeks were Captain America 299 through 307, Carmen number 5, Black Hawk 264, and Gru meets Tarzan 2 through 4. From the previous week, it was Captain America 294 through 298, Hellcop Volume 2, Number 1, and Tangled River, Number 1. So that's going to wrap up this episode. I want to thank you for listening to Mike M's Weekly Reads. Thank you, Dallo, for the questions. Thanks for listening to my wrap up of my comic shop order and why I got what I got. And we will see you again, hopefully, in a week. And thank you for listening to me. And you can reach me at geekbrunchpodcast.com, dcnoisepodcast.com. You can reach me on Twitter at Mike Myers Brunch. That's where you can send me tweets and questions anytime you'd like. And they get queued up, and I will get to them. And you'll be mentioned on the show. You can also send email if you want to go that route at mike@comicbooknoise.com. And you can find me at the websites at geekbrunchpodcast.com and dcnoisepodcast.com. You can also type those exact DC Noise Podcast and Geek Brunch Podcast with spaces in between, and click the like button, follow all the episode threads there on Facebook. So I want to thank you for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend. You guys take care. Bye.